This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Plato, coming to you from the Bob Carr Theater in Orlando, Florida. You know, many engineers can spend their entire careers doing one kind of work. You engineer airplanes, for example. You might spend a whole lot of time, decades, working on the same little screw for a plane hatch. And if you're an engineer, you know what I'm talking about. But not Christine Daly. A mechanical engineer by training, she dabbles in everything from fluids to electronics, whatever the demands of the job. She has created autonomous vehicles. She's designed an exercise machine for astronauts, explored the mysteries of sloshing spacecraft fuel and zero gravity, and even some projects we aren't allowed to talk about because it's sort of hush-hush classified stuff. And she's doing all of this while she's finishing her PhD. Let's welcome her to the stage, Christine Daly, PhD student at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Daytona Beach. She's also a mechanical engineer in the Tactical Electronic Warfare Division at the Naval Research Laboratory in Washington. Welcome.
It's a very long title, I know.
But it must be a lot of work, a lot of fun. You must have a lot of fun doing what you're doing, though, right?
It is a lot of fun. When I first started and they were showing me around, every time they opened another door, it was like a playground behind there. It's a great facility.
Were you always interested in, did you want to be an engineer when you started out?
No. I was not that engineer putting things together as a kid and taking things apart and, you know, investigating cool, you know, building robots and water rockets. No, I was playing in the dirt and probably picking my nose and getting into trouble. And then eventually going through school, I started doing journalism, sports journalism. And after about 5 or 6 years, one team wins, one team loses. And it just kind of, Awesome. We did teamwork. We all worked together. So I wanted to go back to school, and I happened to be kind of good at math. So I fell into it, and I did a tour of Embry-Riddle, and again, kind of fell right into the robotics lab.
You have a good habit of falling.
That kid in me.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's talk about what you work on, because, you know, we have all seen astronauts on treadmills in space.
Yes.
Or up in the space station. How much do astronauts have to exercise?
Currently, they have 3 machines in space. It's the treadmill, it's like a, and then a bicycle type thing, and then a resistance device they call RED. And they have to split up their time about 2.5 hours a day working on these machines.
And if they don't do it, what happens?
A lot of negative effects happen to our body when gravity is taken away. We have orthostatic intolerance, for example, bone loss, muscle loss. And so exercising is proven to, one, create plasma, which red blood cells live in plasma, and red blood cells help move oxygen through the body. It is also when gravity is present, you have this natural resistance on your body, so you're exercising without even knowing it. So when you take that away, our bones, they don't have to really support anything, so they don't need to be strong. And our muscles, again, you don't need to be strong because they don't have to hold me up. They don't have to let me sit or stand or, you know, grab things, carry things. And so the issue really becomes when you come back to Earth. So many things, negative things, happen in space. So right now we have lots of different machines to fix all those issues. Well, it's not really ideal. I'm sorry, if I'm an astronaut, I don't want to spend 2.5 hours a day exercising. I want to go explore. I want to go float around and have fun.
There you go.
So we created a very simple linkage system, and then I followed kind of the method that Nautilus has. When your arms are completely extended, you could hold a lot more weight than you can when they're about here. So on the system that I invented, I'm using a spring that you compress. So when your leg pushes on the pedal, you can start to push more and more and more and more and more and more, right? So that spring is condensing, and you can have the max force pushed all the way out. Why is that important? Okay, I don't want to spend 2.5 hours, so let me do a lot of work and be efficient in a short amount of time. So it starts out maybe at 5 pounds, but then could end at about 50.
Yeah, yeah. You talked about a negative pressure chamber.
Yes.
What is that, the suction pants? Or?
Yes,
it is.
Kind of like that, actually.
You put them on like pants?
No, Russians have that, though. They have like these stiff pants that you kind of squeeze into and you sit there, and then this negative pressure or gravity starts to suck on you. So your fluid on Earth are fluid, and a lot of the blood and everything, it's getting pulled down to our feet. So we have lots of pressure down towards our lower extremities. And when you take that off, this fluid starts to float up and it becomes completely neutral. So nothing pulling on it or sucking on it. And it causes negative effects. It starts to build pressure around our hearts that we're not used to. Behind our eyes, it pushes our retinas out. So these pants or the chamber sucks that fluid back down, acts like gravity, and gets rid of a lot of those negative effects.
Are you doing that little exercise that you showed us? Are you doing it inside that chamber at the
yes,
same time?
So that's the best part. So now you don't have to do all these separate machines. You have this exercise device inside of this chamber, and you kind of squeeze in, and you have a little strap to hold you, and then you have handles, and you start using the pedals, right? Kind of almost like an elliptical type thing, and the pressure is activated at the same time. So you're pulling the fluid down and you're exercising. You get the resistives for your muscle. You get the pressure for your bones. It's wonderful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have one at home?
I have the prototype at home.
You have a prototype at
home?
Yes.
So when I first started the Naval Research Lab, I had told them that I was working my master's and that this was the project. And they said, well, we want you to get used to our lab. And in the lab, you know, we have all the stuff that you would find in a normal machine shop. And one of the things that I needed to learn when I first got there was welding. And because at the Naval Research Lab, you don't want to outsource anything. If you come up with an idea and you want to pitch it, go build a quick prototype real fast and see if it works. So I wanted to see if this worked, and it worked. So yes, I do have that at home, actually.
Do you have guests that come over and you say?
Oh, they use it all the time. They're like, oh, I'm getting lean. It's good. No.
No. You ever thought about marketing it? You know.
So the best part about my job, and I think just me in general, is I'm good at a lot of different things, so I kind of bounce.
Yeah.
They had a problem, I came in, I fixed it for them, we did our test, and then I said, have fun with it, do what you want, goodbye.
But I know you get to work on all kinds of interesting things.
Tons
right?
of different things. Not one day is the same, which is great.
And we have this big metal object here up on the screen. It looks kind of like a pyramid, right? The many-faced triangle. What's going on with this thing? What is that thing?
So that is called a corner reflector. And that is one of the original back in the day type of corner reflector. When you shine a laser beam at a wall, at a corner, like it refracts, right? Well, this works kind of like that, but it uses radar. And it is a big here I am type object. So if you are searching for something, this tiny corner reflects in such a big way that it could look like a bigger object.
So you're like, you show up as a big blip on the radar screen.
Pretty much, yeah.
So what's wrong with that?
I mean, so that's huge. So say if we wanted to use it in an application like sailboats. Sailboats are mostly made up of wood and
fiberglass.
Exactly. They're made up of materials that are not reflective. They're more observant, right? And if you are in that sailboat and say you get lost and the Coast Guard is trying to find you, they have radars that they send out and they are trying to look for some kind of signal return that is large enough to say, hey, that is our boat. That's what we're looking for. So you need to have some kind of reflector, corner reflector, on your sailboat. Okay, if I'm sailing, I do not want to sail with a gigantic metal corner reflector attached to my boat. It's not going to happen.
I hate it when that happens.
I know. It's like this ugly eyesore, and it's heavy, and it's just awful. So engineering came in and material science, and instead of using hard metals they use, or we now use, metallized materials. And to keep the metallized materials straight or tight in the right geometry formation that gives you that large return, we strap an inflatable around it. And that inflatable keeps it light, and it keeps it more, the stowage package is much smaller, so it's efficient. Many applications to where you can use that, but a sailboat's a good reference.
So you get to spend a lot of time on boats. You work at the Naval Lab.
It was such an honor to spend a couple weeks out on a DDG, and it was amazing. We were doing some testing out there. I actually got to teach a PT class on a flight deck, which was awesome.
We have one picture left that we haven't shown anybody.
Oh.
It's a picture of you on the Vomit Comet.
Yes. It was another thing. It's completely different. This was an experiment done on fuel slosh. And I got to take my experiment to do all of the testing, which required a microgravity environment on the NASA Zero-G plane.
So you do go up there and do loop-de-loops on the plane?
Complete kid coming out here, yes. After we were done with the experiment and collecting all the data and all that good stuff, and we proved it worked, they gave us a couple of the loop-de-loops pyramid things that they do. They gave us a cute few to play around in, and I got to do like somersaults, and we were doing like push-up things where you just like tap the ground and you fly backwards, and it was really cool.
Well, it's not one thing you fell into, finally.
I felt it was very good. It was a success.
Well, good luck to you on your PhD.
Thank you.
Christina Daly.
Thank you.
PhD student Embry-Riddle, Aeronautical University and Mechanical Engineer, Washington's Naval Research Lab. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.